Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in Amma ba'd Faqad qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin shahadati an la ilaha illallah Wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah Wa iqam al-salah wa itai al-zakah Wa sawmi ramadhan Wa hajj al-bayt min istata ilayhi sabila صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الله سبحانه وتعالى has gathered us here and Allah سبحانه وتعالى has brought us together and we ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to gather us together with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم on the day of Qiyamah Now One of the hadith that we teach to our children when they're small, and we teach a person who just embraced Islam, a person who is new to Islam, is the five pillars of Islam. Either you're telling them the hadith, or you're telling the meaning of the hadith, but either way you're going to be discussing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Islam is based on five pillars, On the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The five salah every day, giving zakat every year, fasting a month every Ramadan. And for those who can afford it physically or financially, going for Hajj once in their lifetime. Now, for Shahada to be a pillar of Islam, for Shahada to be something as important as a pillar in Islam, it makes sense. Because if you don't have Shahada, you're not a Muslim. So it shows how important it is. So that being a pillar makes sense. Deserves to be a pillar. Salah, five times a day, you're meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's important. It's a VIP meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it deserves its place. It deserves to be a pillar. Fasting is a whole month, every year. And this also, because of its importance, deserves to be a pillar. Zakat, once a year, either you giving or either you receiving, but once a year, and how important it is for the functionality of the ummah, also deserves to be a pillar. But Hajj, how does it deserve to be a pillar? It's something that most Muslims in reality wouldn't do. If you really think about it, only a percentage of Muslims end up doing the Hajj. Everyone's not doing the Hajj. And that also, Hajj, you have to be physically okay, you have to be financially okay, for it to become fard on you. From there, only some of them are doing it. And that also for 10 days to 15 days in your entire life. From your whole life of 60 years, you only spend 10 days doing the Hajj. How does this become a pillar of Islam? Like, how is that so important it becomes a pillar of Islam? So, to understand it, subhanAllah, so many people will live their whole life, die without doing Hajj, and still not be sinful. Because they never got the chance to do it. Their name didn't come up, they didn't get the visa, whatever it was. They died without doing the Hajj, not sinful. But still, Hajj has the place of a pillar. How? Or why? Why is it so important? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise, has put some wisdom behind Hajj being that important. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hajj says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ So that you can witness the benefits that you get in it. In Hajj, so that you witness the benefits that you get in it. So what is the benefits? At the time of Hajj, every year, either you going or you know somebody who's going. Either you are going, or some neighbor, or some friend, or somebody down the road, or some brother, cousin, uncle, somebody is going. So, or somebody at your masjid is going. Now you know who's going. And after Hajj, they're going to be talking about Hajj. Before the Hajj, the majlis in the masjid is going to be talking about Hajj. So it's going to be a reminder about Hajj all the time. So the hikmah or the manafi' that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, the benefit that Allah is talking about, is that firstly, it reminds you of the day of Qiyamah. It reminds you of the day of Qiyamah. So by Allah bringing Hajj every year, whether you're going or whether you're not going, by you hearing about it every year, is a reminder to you of the day of Qiyamah every year. And it's a reminder that there's going to be a day like how those Hajjis are going to stand in front of Allah on Arafah. You also going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Arafah. And on that day, you will have to be questioned for every single thing that you did. So, why is it important to remember Qiyamah? Why do we have to be reminded of Qiyamah all the time? If Hajj is coming to remind us of Qiyamah, so why are we being reminded of Qiyamah? In Surah Hajj, in Surah Sad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. That those people who are astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are astray from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be given a severe punishment. Why? For which reason? Why are they going to give a severe punishment? بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Because they forgot Qiyamah. You are astray, and your punishment is because of you forgetting Qiyamah. The punishment is because of forgetting Qiyamah. And nowadays, almost every problem that we have, or you could even say it as every problem that we have, is because we've forgotten Qiyamah. Every problem that we have is only because we've forgotten that one day you're going to stand in front and answer. A few weeks ago, Mufti Sahib spoke about inheritance and how people cheat and rob each other of inheritance, etc., etc. Because they forgot Qiyamah. Because they forgot that that day they're going to stand and answer. Anyway, so every problem in the dunya goes back and boils down to this. So think about it. If, example, one of our sisters has Qiyamah on her mind all the time, and she thinks that one day I have to answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think she'll say, but why must I wear hijab? Or will she think that that was a command of Allah and I'm going to be answerable for it? Do you think that a brother who's not being dutiful to his parents will carry on behaving like that if he had Qiyamah in his mind? Do you think he would be abusing his wife? Do you think he would be cheating at work? Do you think he would be robbing somebody, lying to somebody, if he knew that one day I'm going to be answering for that lie? So all the problems are going back to the same thing. Lack of the consciousness of Qiyamah and that answerability that you have, that's what's causing the problem. Because once you have that in front of you, that one pound extra that you've taken, one little bit of extra, whatever it is, benefit that you've taken, I'm going to answer for it. Then subhanAllah, a person becomes much more conscious. So every year the Hajj comes to remind us of that day of Qiyamah. From the moment a person starts saving towards the Hajj, every penny that you put aside, you make sure that that penny is not tainted, not haram, it's not dodgy, it's not from some other, you know, it's not messed with something. It's completely halal. So you're consciously making a change in yourself, in the way you earn. Because when you're going to be saving, it needs to come from the same earnings, isn't it? So your earnings has to become halal. Now, when you're going, you gather your family. You start telling them that, look, if I don't come back, if I pass away on the route, on Hajj, then this much I owe that one, that must be done, that must be done, that must be done. So you're sorting out everything as if you're leaving. Because in reality, it's like death. It's like Day of Qiyamah, so you're preparing for it. Then you phone everybody or you visit people and you're asking them for forgiveness. You need to sort out everything from before. Then when you go there and you see those crowds, that in itself is a reminder of Yawm al-Hisab. The Day of Qiyamah is going to be those crowds also, much bigger than that also. Then also the clothing that you'll be wearing, the haram that you're wearing is very similar to the kafan that you will have. Very similar to the kafan that you have. And remember, when you're putting on your ihram, it's you who bathed yourself. One day, somebody's going to bath you. Today you're bathing yourself. There's going to be a day when somebody's going to bath you and then wrap you in white sheets. Then after you've done ihram, once you entered into ihram, you can't even put perfume for yourself. You can't even cut your nails. You can't even take out one hair of yours. You can't even scratch and itch yourself. You're literally like a dead person. Can a dead person scratch himself? Can he cut his own nails? So Allah is showing you, you're like a dead person. You can't even help yourself. If something's itching, you can't help yourself. That's how dead you are. So, when you're doing this, you're preparing yourself for Qiyamah. You're preparing yourself for death. You're reminding yourself of death. Then, when you're going to Sa'i, and you're running between Safa and Marwa, remind yourself that on the day of Qiyamah, a person is going to run to this Nabi, that Nabi, that Nabi, that Nabi. Asking, can you ask Allah to start the Hisab? So you're going to be running up and down. Same way, like how you run in Sa'i. Again, a reminder of Qiyamah. And that day, we'll come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it will start. And ask Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercede from us, for us, and let us be from that group that will be saved, inshallah. And that day when every person is saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, I'm only worried about myself, including Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, that day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go and intercede. That day Rasulullah will go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Then when you say Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, you're saying, Allah, I am here, I am present, I am submitting to you, I am being obedient to you, you called me, I came. So same thing is a reminder in your life that you, if you want success on the day of Qiyamah, you have to be obedient to Him now. When He calls you now, be obedient to Him, so that when you on the day of Qiyamah, then you will be successful, inshallah. Then the only way that you can survive on the day of Qiyamah is if you have La ilaha illallah. So same way, it's only when you're saying Labbaik and being obedient only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will be successful. And then the biggest evidence that Hajj is there to remind us of the day of Qiyamah in Surah Hajj. The biggest evidence to show you that the link between Hajj and Yawm al-Qiyamah is Surah al-Hajj itself. Now, those of you who went for Hajj, I want you to answer this. Those who went for Hajj or those who are going for Hajj this year, how many of you listened to lectures or watched some videos of Hajj? All did, right? How many of you read some kitab about Hajj? All did. How many of you read Surah Hajj? The Rabb of Hajj told you about Hajj. How many of you read about Suratul Hajj before Hajj? You read somebody's written kitab. You heard somebody's lecture. But the Rabb of Hajj, what he says about Hajj, did you listen to him? Did you read what he says about Hajj? There's no Surah Salah. There's no Surah Shahada. There's no Surah Zakat. But there's a Surah Hajj. It's no coincidence that there's just a Surah Hajj and no other Surah named after another Ibadah. And in Surah Hajj, Allah doesn't speak about Arafah, doesn't speak about Muzdalifah, doesn't speak about pelting Shaitan. Nothing. So Surah Hajj, but doesn't talk about those parts of Hajj. What does Surah Hajj talk about then? So in Surah Hajj, the first ayah of Surah Hajj, Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqoo rabbakum. O people, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. The earthquake or the shaking on the day of Qiyamah is something great. Shay'un 'azeem is a major event. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها. That day when you will see a breastfeeding mother dropping her child, a pregnant woman letting go of her child, aborting her child. That day, that love that a mother has for her child is unparalleled. But a mother just dumping her child and running away is a day of Qiyamah. So Allah says, if you think Hajj is Shay'un Azeem with 3 and 5 million people, it is such a great event, you don't know what Qiyamah is all about. Because Qiyamah is Shay'un Azeem. Qiyamah is actually a great event or something major. You want to know what is major? See Qiyamah, where a mother is going to leave her child. That's major. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of the terror of that day, because of fearfulness of that day, is how a woman will discard her baby or drop her child or leave the breastfeeding child. So when we come back from Hajj, ask yourself, whether you're a sister, whether you're a brother, whatever it is, ask yourself, that it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, hey, when we worried about what my neighbor is going to say, because I now started becoming holy. Isn't it? Now we're worried about what my friends are going to say, because I started doing salah at work. Now we're worried about what the boss is going to say, because now I started praying in the corner. Now we're worried about I put on a hijab, so what all my friends are going to say. So we started changing. We're worried about what somebody is going to say. Allah says, worry about the day when a woman is going to leave her baby. That's what you should be worried about. Worry about what Allah is going to say to you, not what somebody is thinking about you. So stop worrying about losing your job because of disobeying Allah. Stop worrying about losing your risk because of disobeying Allah. Worry more about what you're going to answer that same Allah who created you. So that's why Hajj comes, as a reminder that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what we're doing in our life, and no matter what excuses and justifications we're doing for doing something or not doing something, that one day you're going to stand in front of Allah and you're going to have to answer in front of Him. You're going to have to answer in front of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues that you will see people sukara wa ma hum bisukara. They seem intoxicated, but actually they're not intoxicated. And they seem like they drunk out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually they're not drunk. It's only that fear of what's going to be my question in the day of Qiyamah. What's going to be my result when I stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He's going to start questioning me about everything that I did, what's going to be my end result? So here in Hajj, you see somebody holding on to their wife's hand, holding on to their mother's hand, so that the mother doesn't get trampled by somebody or get harmed by somebody. That day, there's no holding hands. That day you see your brother, you run away from him. He's going to ask me for rewards. You run away. You see your own mother, you'll run away from them. Just now she come ask me for something. Imagine. Here, we're holding on. There, you'll be running away. So this is the reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. That whole picture of Qiyamah, that entire scene of Qiyamah, a small taster, a teaser, a trailer, whatever you want to call it, is being played on Hajj. Prepare yourself for that real Qiyamah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Beware that the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. So all your excuses for doing whatever you're doing is nothing compared to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just a warning for all of us. Then remember one thing, that when we're going for Hajj, it's not our money that takes us for Hajj. Wallahi, there are millionaires who Hajj don't even pass their mind. They don't even think about it. It's not even an idea that they have that one day they need to do it. It's not your money that takes you for Hajj. There's many people who have almost nothing or nothing and they get taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go there because they've been invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only per invitation, VIP invitation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who He wants will be taken, who He doesn't want won't come. No matter who you are, what status you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't worry about all of that. It's only who He wants, who He invites to His house, in the same way as us. Who will we call into our house? You only call those who you love. You only call those who you have some affinity for. If you don't like them, you're not going to call them to your house, are you? Unless you're going to drug them. So, same way, we don't invite somebody who you don't like into your house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also doesn't invite those who He doesn't want to see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the Hajj is only once in your life. Salah, many times. Zakat, many times. So many times. Hajj only once. If you do it correctly, then that once is enough. If you do the Hajj properly once in your life, then that Hajj will be enough for you. And the preparation for the Hajj is what will make our life change. That pre-Hajj, when you're planning to do Hajj, then learn what Hajj is about. Even though you might be on 10 pounds still and you only started your Hajj box now, you already start your learning for Hajj and start your changes for Hajj. For example, in Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ, there should be no evil speech. So if my preparation box of Hajj, where I'm putting few pounds every day, is my start for my Hajj, then at the same time my actions should also be starting to prepare for Hajj, where I stop talking vulgar language, where I start controlling what comes off my tongue. And how the hadith of Hajj al-Mabrur is of greeting, that how I now start greeting more people, that the person who greets a lot in Hajj, that person's Hajj is Mabrur. So from now, I'm going to prepare my life that I'm going to be making salam with everybody. The sign of Qiyamah is that a person only greets those who he knows. A person only greets those who he knows. So we should start by greeting everybody. And like this, what all the other preparations for Hajj would make us change our life for something which will be better. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم.
أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة ya lis-salah. على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just one important announcement. As many of you will be aware, one of our brothers from Walsall, Brother Sijjad Hussain, from Birchill's, mashallah, he was on the Global Summit Flotilla that sailed from Barcelona in Spain to break the siege of Gaza. Unfortunately, a couple of days ago, some of the boats, including the boat on which he was on, was illegally intercepted and boarded by occupation forces. And currently we've lost contact with the brother to exactly find out where he is. We pray he's in safety in Greece. But they've been illegally abducted. For this, today there's an emergency demonstration in Walsall Town Centre to bring to the attention of our MP. That demonstration is taking place at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Everybody is encouraged to try and attend if they've got the time. Even if you haven't got the time, try and make the time to attend. It's a very important matter. It's about our freedoms, not just in Gaza, but our freedoms here, and the two-tier system that we're operating under. And this must be brought to the attention of our elected representatives, especially our MPs. So all brothers, ancestors, and everybody who can make it is encouraged to attend today at 5 o'clock, Walsall Town Centre, by the crossing in Darwell Street, which is just behind the bus station. Jazakallah khair.
When the khutbah starts, then it's haram to speak. So nobody is allowed to speak at all during the khutbah, because the khutbah is part of salah. So you're not even allowed to tell somebody else to keep quiet. So that much you're not even allowed to speak. And with my four eyes, I can see you guys upstairs. Some of you do your during the khutbah are doing sunnats. So that also shouldn't be done, because during the khutbah it's part of salah. You should be sitting and listening. And this doesn't apply only to the Jummah khutbah, but this is every khutbah, meaning Eid khutbah, Nikah khutbah, any other khutbah also. Allah give us tawfiq to practice.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق السماوات والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم، إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتدع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، واذكر الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten the saf, check that our heels are on the line, our cell phone switched off. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى، فجعله غثاء أحوى، سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى، فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى، ويتجنبها الأشقى، الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Thank you. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا ما أخرنا وما أسررنا ما أعلنا ما أنت أعلم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وعملنا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وتخفي الصدور. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا هب لنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله العظيم. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا لا إله إلا الله. أحينا عليه يا حي ومتنا عليه يا مميت وبعثنا يوم القيامة يا باعث. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. Brother Muslim Mullah has passed away in Bangladesh, so we requested to make dua for him inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him jannatul firdaws, make it easy for the family inshallah. Muslim Mullah from Bangladesh inshallah. Subhanallah.